So tonight you can pretend all you want, you got it together. But our best is as filthy rags. And I'm glad to say I didn't come to judge anybody, because I don't have the esteemed privilege. The Lord is our judge. And when you could fool me, you don't fool him. Let me read this to you tonight. Even when you're young and strong, life can wear you down, physically and emotionally. There is one form of weariness, however, that no nap or bubble bath, favorite meal, movie or song, best friend or companion, or break from school or work can touch. And that is called spiritual exhaustion. When we're spiritually exhausted, we have nothing to offer, even though we have everything in the world to give. When we're spiritually exhausted, the things that should bring motivation to us do nothing in our heart. That means that the praise team wears themselves out silly, trying to encourage, and we're so far away from a place that we're even ready to receive it, that you're not only still discouraged, but you've now discouraged somebody that tried to help you. And there are ministers that are called to be mighty men of God that weren't hindered by any lost person to preach. Oh yeah, I said it. Nobody else is going to go there, Roston, I will. There have been more preachers hindered by Christians than those that would disagree with them. Those lost that would say that I don't believe. That we have more hindrances sitting in our midst. And I'm not talking about you as a person, but I'm talking about what surrounds you as a person. These are the things that God is wanting to speak to you about. These are the things that He's wanting to create in you a new beginning. Because until you have time for rest, you'll never gain strength to fight. And without a passion to fight, we have no fire. And with no fire means no gifts of the Spirit. No gifts of the Spirit means no transformation. No transformation makes this establishment no better than the religious were when they wore long robes and yelled out to crucify Christ. And you might not think that you put Christ on the cross before, but if you have ever rejected the notion of saying that you need to let go of something, you might as well have yelled out, "Go ahead and crucify Him, because I don't need Him in my life." God wants to speak to that kind of stuff. I come tonight with a pickaxe and a shovel, and I am getting down into that stuff you don't want God to see. And I'm determined that we're going to either get past these things, or we're going to hang it up and say we're done, one of the two. Because the Lord is not going to let us continue in such a lukewarm place. He would rather you be on fire for God, or just flat out say that you're not interested. Because at least one way or another, we would be able to know the difference. He doesn't want you to come in and just act like that it's okay one day, and that you're all to pieces another. He wants you to know that He is there for you, and that you are not alone. Oh, I'm getting ready to praise Him. You better get ready. Read with me in Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Do you know what that's talking about? You having a true presence of integrity. A true presence of integrity says to God, take it all, not take a little. Take all my pain. Take all my bitterness. Take all the sins that are hindering me from being who I should be in God. Because here's why I'm afraid for you tonight. Because the presence of sin that we are accepting as okay is draining the life out of you. The things that you think that you are covered with by grace and never change are the very things that's keeping you from coming in and being all that you can be in God. I'm not here to tell you that you can't ever reach it, but I'm here to tell you that sin has no seat in God's temple. No seat. Light and darkness have no fellowship. Bitter and sweet waters cannot dwell in the same fountain. We can only serve one of two masters. And we can either love one and hate the other. So I'm identifying with the fact that there is a choice to be made. And I can only go one of two directions. And I must choose to either let God take me completely or to accept a life without its blessings. Here's the bottom line tonight. We want to walk as blessed, but we don't want to let go of what would let us be blessed. And what we end up having is lip service or obedience without passion, obligatory offerings. And you read the story of Cain and Abel, and you can find that obligatory offerings don't prosper. They must be sincere. And just as much as you're sincere in your praises, the Lord wants you to be sincere in what you repent and give up. Because if you can't get down and say, Lord, take everything, then you shouldn't even bother to stand up and praise anything. Because it's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He wants you to be all in and not part of the way. Because when we're on our way to heaven, there's not going to be a door for all in and a door for part of the way. There's only one way, one door, one truth, one life, one way. And that is Jesus Christ. And until we learn to walk the way he told us, he told the rich man to sell everything he had. The stuff that was intimate to him is what he spoke to. He didn't tell him to lay off his friends, to give up his house. He spoke to the innermost intimate bondage that was in that man. And he said, sell all you have. And that's the call that I'm making to whatever that is in your life. It might be grief over something that you're waiting to change. It might be frustration over something that has hurt you and afflicted you. But God is calling out to you and saying, give me all that you would put value on above him. Luke chapter 6 verse 37 says, to judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Verse 39, they said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall in the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and perceivest not the beam that is in thine own? If I got up here and preached about the stuff I have no issues with, I can dance all over that. Heck, I'm going to speak to you about you talking about other people, and in the name of Jesus, you're going to get it or get over it. But if I don't have a problem with something like that, then I'm not really ministering something that is true, even in my life. But you want to know something? I get frustrated like you do. I live in misunderstanding of why like you do. I wonder when something's going to happen like you do. And I get frustrated with the devil. And sometimes I get frustrated with God, because my life sometimes doesn't present clear answers as to why I'm suffering it, why they did this to me, why it had to happen that way. Could I have not been spared from this? Could somebody have at least helped me along the way? There are people that have lost their Christian walk because they didn't have somebody tell them that they were there for them. There's people that have lost their way simply because they have not got things exactly the way they wanted them. But if you're going to truly be sincere about your life, it's got to be in God's time. All right, I'm going to. Excuse me, brother. Excuse me. Amen, Brother Jared. Preach it. If we're going to be sincere about some real stuff, then you can't just say amen to what don't bother you. You've got to say amen to the stuff that is up in your grill, too. You've got to acknowledge that you've got to stop some things in your life in order to have real growth. Most importantly, we must learn to bring the things that we cannot fix to the Lord. And until we do, we cannot fight. And you can beg for people to fight for you. And this is what I was talking to Angela about earlier today. It blows my mind. Brother, Pray for me. Pray for me, brother. I'm going through a hard time. And you know what I want to say sometimes? Do you have a church you can go to?
Yeah.
Are you saved?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you ever felt his presence? Oh, yeah. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost 20 years, brother. Do you own a Bible?
Yeah, I think so. I don't get it out too often.
Do you know how to pray?
Yeah, I heard it in Sunday school, and I prayed to be saved, and yeah, I prayed for a few things before.
Do you not know that you can do all that I'm doing for you if you would just but try? That's what I want to ask sometimes, but I would never want to be offensive to anyone. But I just think sometimes, do they not know that I'm carrying weight too? And it looks like I'm having a good time tonight, and I sure am. I look forward to this more than anything. But I'm going to deal with battles just like you do. And that is why we can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's why that we have to be in one mind and one accord, because we need each other. We need to use this assembly as something more than what we've known church to be in the past. We need to create a new atmosphere for people that don't know the way, that we live our lives in such a way that they'll finally feel like it's okay to lay off the sin that they've held on to for 20 years. Because there are some sinners that sit in the house of God and don't change a thing, even though that they have a building, they have a pastor, they have a praise team. There are people that are living in their sin and not changing anything. Because there's no conviction, there's no presence of spirit, and there's nothing that causes them to change their mind about their issues. They sit in the midst of hypocrites is the best way that I can put it. People that tell them that they've got to change everything about them, but are not willing to change anything within themselves. Verse 42 says, either, how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull the mote that is out of your eye, when thou beholdest that not the beam that is in thine own? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of your own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly. Say clearly. Clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. What we've been talking about tonight is take the things that you already know good and well that the Lord will help you with and give it to him and wait no longer. And as you gain strength from that, then you'll be able to minister to somebody else in the love of God. Because if you're going to go to them and judge them, you're going to be judged. How many of you were young as a Christian and made that mistake before? How many of you have heckled smokers to quit smoking but never smoked before? How many of you have told people they need to get off something but you never wanted to get? How many of you have told people they need to quit drinking pop as you're sitting there drinking your pop? You know that's bad for you, buddy. When we come in and don't kneel down with others that need to be saved, when we act like it's beneath us and us ever having any concern for the lost anymore, when we want to act like the people being filled with the Spirit is just optional and not something that they need to grow, when we just forsake the Spirit of God and put a very big chokehold on what the service could be, the only people that are responsible then, brothers and sisters, family and friends, is us. And the Bible said the blood would be on our hands when we did such things. Because when you quench the Spirit, you choke life. And when you choke life, you take it. And it is not your privilege to take. He wants you to be a servant unto others. Let me read one more scripture to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, if you will humor me, let me read this in another translation. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Do you know what it means when it says to be a partaker in the divine nature? That means live what you say that you believe. Live what you say you believe. If you believe that people should repent from their sin, honey, pray and repent from your sin. If you believe people should be on fire and praising him, participate and show somebody that it's worthwhile.
If you believe in living in good conversation, are you ready? Then start having some. If you're sick and tired of being around people that complain, stop complaining. If we're tired of being down all the time, stop surrounding ourselves with the devil's taunts. Take a stand for your perimeter. Declare what has already been given to you to the enemy and reclaim what God meant for you to have the day that you said, I accept you, Lord. Only then can we learn to fight. So tonight, we're not talking about shields and swords and all these things. We're talking about what even keeps us from wanting to get up and do anything at all. And that's the call that I'm making to you tonight. I want you to think about it tonight. And I want you to think about it tomorrow. I want you to think about it 3 weeks from now and examine the things that are keeping you from having a true presence of freedom. You don't have to argue with yourself when you get up in the bed to declare that you're a free citizen of your nation. You know that you are by what price was paid by somebody to fight for you. Now, you don't need anybody to have to prove to you that you are free as Christ has made you free, because if you've ever claimed him as your Savior, then you're just as free in that as you are claiming your freedom as a U.S. citizen. So that tells me that when we let people hinder us, that we're living under bondage. My ministry didn't grow until I learned to overcome the bondage of people. I'm here to tell you that out of everybody looking at me tonight, somebody can't stand it. Oh, it drives them nuts, but they're coming just because somebody else said, let's come. There's been some preachers I've sat under before. Lord God, I had to fight to stay awake. I've had to fight to keep from laughing. I've had to fight before to keep my focus. There's been plenty of times that the devil will come and use even you, say even me, as a hindrance. But if we're trying and being a participant, it's less likely to occur. Because here's what's happening. Places that need to be established and stronger, they're looking at their pastors and saying it's not enough. They're looking at their Sunday school programs and saying it's not good enough. They're looking at all the church services they're having and saying, well, we don't even need these. Let's just cut out Wednesday nights, and let's just cut out Sunday nights, and let's just keep Sunday school to under an hour and not have church afterwards, and we'll be able to get home and get rested for work even more. And they're saying that the preaching is too tough and we need to make it a little bit more compelling and interesting, that we need to put a little bit more history and education inside of it. But all I know, friends, is that the more that we conform to what people say that this should be, the less fire that we have in our church. I know you all know this. I know you all know what's true. And we're letting it out. We're airing out. We're opening up the closet and letting all the dust and dirt fly around. There's no reason in pretending like we can hide from our issues. You can't escape them. But the great thing is that God is omnipresent. And he is surrounded unto your situation. Do you receive this tonight? I'm here to tell you that there is a greater work to be done. Greater works shall we do. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are two different Greek versions of the word poor in the New Testament. But the definition that is translated in that scripture is making reference to being one as though you held something, a place. It then is lost and you were without your property. You know what that means? Blessed are those that are willing to lose something. To lose your life is to gain Christ. He that will lose his life is who that will save it. If you are willing to be poor in this life, poor in social status, poor in what you invest your time in, then those things that you want to be blessed shall be blessed because of your sincere heart before the Lord. It didn't give any prerequisite on the prayer you had to pray in order to be blessed. It just simply said, come. Come. Come all ye that are laborious, heavy laden. Come. I'm begging you tonight, church, look at your life and your issues. And all that God is saying is just come. And give that that which would afflict you, and then you can stand to be blessed. I want you to have power over the devil, but I can't just hand it to you. You've got to know that you can do it for you to ever get up and try it. In closing, I want you to remember this. Stop being so familiar with failure, and let failure become a stranger in your house. Begin to fight the good fight. Participate in positive conversation. Maintain a good attitude in spite of your surroundings. Be an encouragement unto your neighbors and your brothers and sisters. And if you have something to give them, give it, and it shall be given to you. Look upon the trouble around you. And if you're strong enough to see it and know that you can help, help those that are troubled. Because until we give it sincerely and we let God take everything in our life, all that we do is meaningless. It's a legacy that would be forgotten. There are many men that died on crosses. When you read about all the men that died, even in the hunt for Christ as a babe, 2,000 upwards were hung on Roman crosses. And Joseph and Mary came back to find this vision and imagery of total tragedy. But you talk to me about when the love of God is mixed with a common tragedy, and what would have been a common tragedy, Gary, becomes a miracle. What was meant for your bad, God will work for your good. He takes your cross and makes it a miracle. Just as you accepted the miracle of what Christ did, there have been many people that have lived and died before you ever drew breath. But what makes what people will remember about you stand out and be remembered is that what you do with the love of God. And you are never going to do it in the perfect situation, because, friends, it's never coming. The perfect ideal world where everybody's cheery and happy and enjoys being in the house of God, friends, it doesn't exist. So stop waiting on it. You have got to make your situation. That's why he said, speak to the mountain. I feel foolish, but I have before. I've looked onto a mountain, Brother Gary, and I've spoke to my issues and said, you will move. Come hell or high water, you're moving. And I begin to think the same God that carved the very distance between mountains and valleys is the same God that's going to help me fight my battles. Because when I can't even fight it on my own, King Jesus comes in and says, let me take your pain and let me make it a miracle that somebody can know him. Go ahead and stand with us tonight. I feel his presence moving, and normally I would just ask if anyone had anything to say, but I'm going to give an altar call for somebody in here. And if there would be somebody that would come and sing tonight, sing what the Lord has laid on your heart, I'm going to open this altar to you that God can touch you and help you along your way. Friends, this is not the end, but Jesus taught them it's only the beginning. People have accepted and received Christ even after they had lived a long time. And it was just as much a beginning for them as a newborn babe. God doesn't want you to continue in struggle in calamity. He wants you to be strong enough to fight again. But until we give it all sincerely, then everything that we do between then and now and that to come will not be as it could have been. Try your best to do your best. And I know if you'll try, God will do his best. As they sing tonight, church, be praying. And if you feel the call to come and pray, we are here for you to pray with you. Because you are not alone. Don't look at your failure and say, I cannot. But speak to that failure and tell it, I will succeed. By faith, I will succeed. I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. Come and get that strength so that you can do the things you desire.